Once again, we look at the eighth commandment. We see different ways that we can be guilty of breaking this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Too many times when we think of stealing, we think just of material things, things that we can lay hold of, touch. But there are other things that are not material that can be stolen as well. And there's a long list there, but we're only going to mention briefly a couple. And again, when we think of stealing, I suppose our minds automatically go to the material, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we must realize that stealing can go beyond material things. I think of slander to the ruin of someone's character. It's a form of theft. It's a stealing of one's character, one's reputation. Again, there are things more valuable than money or material. Certainly this would be one. Slander, of course, is to make false or even unnecessary statements damaging to a person's reputation. A lot of times people will say, well, what I said was true, and that might be so, but was it necessary to say? That's a whole different realm. Was it necessary to say? There are a lot of things about each one of us that would be true, but is it necessary to say if it damages someone's character? That's something we need to seriously give consideration to. But slander, of course, is rebuked in the Word of God, and we'll spend some time on that subject in the ninth commandment. But in Psalm 101, in verse 5, whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. And I believe we see the connection here. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer or permit. So I believe pride has something to do with this subject. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Proverbs 11 verse 9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Again, there's a destruction, which can be a form of theft. In Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth, when you sow something, you do it intently, soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. So we see we can steal, rob someone of their character. It's not that we take it on ourselves. It's not theft in that regard. We can rob someone of friendships. That's a form of theft as well. Proverbs 17 and verse 9, the last part of that verse. Well, the first part says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. That, of course, has limitations. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And again, we can repeat a matter. The matter may be true, may be a factual matter. But does it have to be repeated? Is, again, the question. What good is it going to do? What purpose is it going to serve to repeat this matter? Is it going to be a help to someone spiritually, or is it going to be destructive? So once again, we need to think about these things. Another thing that can be stolen is unity. Proverbs 6, we see Solomon mentions seven things that the Lord hates. He that soweth discord among the brethren is one of those things. And that's a form of theft. It's a stealing of unity, which again is more valuable than anything material. It's more serious than taking something off a store shelf. It's stealing of something far more valuable and far more useful. In Psalm 133, verses 1 and 2, we see the value of unity. It's good. That is, it's beautiful. It's pleasant. It's enjoyable. We all know that. It's much more enjoyable. I mean, something's wrong with your mind. If you find more joy in contention than you do unity, something's wrong with your way of thinking. But unity is an enjoyable thing. So behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell. It is to abide. It speaks of something that's continuous in unity. It's like precious ointment upon the head, which is something that's refreshing, something that was relieving, something that was healing. It ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. In Jeremiah 33 and 29, we see that God would give unity for the good of his people. So, again, the sowing of discord, strife, conflict, friction, hostility, to sow seeds that grow those things can be a form of stealing of unity. We need to consider, we've been doing some premarital counseling, and one of the things we say is you look at marriage as making a deposit, making a withdrawal. It's true in everything. We're either depositing for the good of a marriage, we're withdrawing for the harm of a marriage. That's also true with unity. We need to ask ourselves this question. What I'm about to do, is it a deposit to increase unity, or is it going to be a withdrawal? And again, I realize that sometimes unity is not possible, and sometimes there needs to be a divide. I understand that, but that's not what we're talking about. So these are just some other areas that we can be guilty of stealing. The command also forbids not only each of these things that we've mentioned, but it would forbid all that would lead or might lead to theft. You think of all the things that would lead a person to perhaps steal. And certainly, whatever's on that list would be included in this command. We must avoid the things that lead to the act that is prohibited. So there are many things that would possibly lead to, not necessarily lead to, but possibly lead to theft. One of the first things we think of would be dishonesty. Dishonesty, very likely, will lead someone to, or result in someone stealing in some way. May not result in taking something off a store shelf, but will result in some way of stealing something. Well, again, and we've already mentioned the many different ways that we can do that. But dishonesty. Again, honesty must have a standard. Must have a standard. Unfortunately, today, the standard is the rest of society. And therefore, if you're not as dishonest as someone else, then you might consider yourself honest. But that's an improper standard. What society considers honest today is far from it. Dishonesty is to behave in an untrustworthy way. Would be to behave, of course, in a fraudulent way. And again, it doesn't have to be to fraud someone out of a material possession. There are other areas as well. It can be the intention to mislead. The intention to mislead, that's dishonesty. The intention to cheat, of course, would be dishonesty. To take advantage of another, to take advantage of a situation, would be dishonest. And dishonesty is very likely to lead to some kind of theft. But even a dishonest person usually do not think of themselves as dishonest. In fact, they will go out of their way to tell you how honest they are. And any time someone has to tell you over and over how honest they are, bells need to go off in our heads. I mean, who are you trying to convince? Me or you? And I believe they're trying to convince themselves that they're honest. An honest person doesn't have to tell you that they're honest. A dishonest person tells you that they're honest. So, a system of honesty was established in Old Testament law. There was a system of honesty. And again, that system still holds true today. And we've looked at these verses, but let's go there again, the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. This, of course, has reference to buying and selling. And we spent some time on this quite a while back. But in verse 35 and 36, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Then he gets specific. In meat yurt, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin, which were standards of measurement, shall ye have. So there was a standard of honesty. I am the Lord your God. That's the foundation of the standard. I am the Lord your God. Why should we be honest? Because God is our God. Because of who God is. And it goes on, because of what God has done. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Along the same line in Deuteronomy chapter 25, Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 15. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. Again, there's a standard. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So you have a basic standard of honesty established there in Leviticus and then in the book of Deuteronomy for the land of Canaan. There were laws against taking advantage of the disadvantaged, whatever way that person's disadvantaged. There were laws against taking advantage of the disadvantaged for personal gain, such as the poor. Exodus chapter 23. Exodus 23 and verse 6. Thou shalt not rest or twist the judgment of thy poor in his cause. Shall not twist judgment. That's dishonest. Whether it's twisted in our favor or whether it's twisted in someone else's favor doesn't really matter. What matters is to twist judgment is dishonest. And dishonesty is likely to lead to theft. There were laws concerning the stranger and the widow and the fatherless. These were all disadvantaged people in the Old Testament. Notice in Exodus 22, verses 21 and 22, thou shalt neither vex or mistreat a stranger, nor oppress him, hold him down in some way, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. And he goes on and he says that if you do such things, judgment would come upon the land. And of course, there are people today who pray upon widows. There are people who pray upon children. There are people who pray upon the handicapped. There are people who pray upon disadvantaged people. There are people who pray upon ignorance and, again, for personal gain. That's dishonest. It's not only dishonest, it's theft, and God condemns dishonesty. He goes on to mention that we're not to be dishonest toward our servants in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 14. And Solomon, in his wisdom, warns against taking advantage of the disadvantaged, because such is dishonest. In Proverbs chapter 22, Proverbs 22, read verse 16, and we'll read verse 22. But in verse 16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want or lack. Verse 22, rob not the poor because he is poor. In other words, because it's easy. Because it's easy. It's easy to take advantage of. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. The whole mind, the mindset of I'm going to get them before they get me, it's wrong. Everything about that is unscriptural. Everything about that is dishonest. And that's the way many people operate. Well, I was a little dishonest, but they would have been to me. I just got to them first. And they act like they're smart. And that's good business sense. And that's just the way things are. Well, that might be the way things are, but it's not the way things should be. And so again, dishonesty would certainly be condemned in this command. Notice in Proverbs 20, there's warning concerning that which is gained through dishonest dealings. Verse 17 of Proverbs 20, bread of deceit is sweet to a man. And he may gain some bread through deceptive practices, and he may enjoy that bread. But there's an afterwards coming. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Quite a difference between gravel and bread in your mouth. But again, the individual may enjoy for a season what he got through, what he gained through dishonesty. But there is an afterward coming. And it may not even be in this life, but there is an afterward coming. So dishonesty and all that it includes, that would be deceit, fraud, theft, falsehood, embellishments, misinformation on purpose, misrepresentation, all that is falls under the heading of dishonesty. And it's all condemned in the Word of God. And it's something that is likely to lead to theft. Another thing that would be condemned, and it is in the 10th commandment, would be covetousness. Covetousness, without a doubt, would lead to theft, or is likely to lead to theft. Covetousness is the inordinate desire of getting whatever it is. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be a material possession. It can be anything. But it is the inordinate desire of having something. And if that desire is strong enough, it will lead to theft. And we have examples of it in the Word of God. In Joshua chapter 7, we have the account of Achan. And we know everyone here knows the story, so we're not going to go into that. But he says in verse 21, when I saw, and there's a pattern here, among the spoils, a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels of weight. Okay, so he saw. Nothing wrong with seeing. But then the next step is where sin comes in. I coveted them. I desired them. I desired to have them. And took them, which he was forbidden to do. I saw, I coveted, I took. And behold, they are hid. So, saw, covet, took, and hid. And again, it's covetousness that we are being warned against, and covetousness will lead to theft. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 13, for from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. That is, they become a slave to it. It controls their life. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And the two are connected. To covet and to deal falsely. And someone, covetousness is strong enough, someone will do just about anything to get what they want. So they begin to deal falsely. That gets into, once again, that dishonesty that we just talked about. In the book of Micah, chapter 2, and verse 2, Micah chapter 2 and verse 2. Well, in verse 1, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. So they give thought to this. When the morning is light, they practice it. That is what they worked out in their minds. The reason they do is because it's in the power of their hand. They're able to do it. And they covet fields and take them by violence. And you can say that It's the taking them by violence that is the sin. No doubt, taking them by violence is sin. But what led to the sin is, and they covet fields. It is another sin that led to the sin of taking. Once again, sin does not stand as a single sin. There's a multitude of sins. And houses, and take them away, so they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. And it goes on and talks about how God would judge. How the natural fruits of covetousness are oppression. Laban is a good example. Genesis 31 and 41. He oppressed Jacob. It's the natural fruit of covetousness. Disobedience would be another fruit of covetousness. Theft, 1 Kings 20, verse 6, I believe it's Ben-Hadad. You have an example of covetousness leading to theft. So I believe dishonesty is condemned in the Eighth Commandment. Covetousness is condemned in the Eighth Commandment. Another thing that would be condemned is pride. Pride will lead to, or can lead to, theft. That's an inordinate self-esteem, where a person through pride can give them a sense of entitlement. And a sense of entitlement, if you have this sense of entitlement and you're not getting what you feel you are entitled to, then you become very prone to take what you feel you are entitled to. And then in that person's mind, it's not stealing because, after all, I'm entitled to this. I'm only taking what I deserve. So, and again, that all stems from pride. And of course, we live in a society that is drowning in an entitlement attitude. And people who receive entitlements, they raise their children, they teach their children, you're worthy of this, and then they grow up, they raise, I mean, it's never ending. And of course, eventually, money runs out for entitlements. I mean, you just doesn't work. So pride would be condemned in this commandment. Unbelief would be another thing that could cause theft. Unbelief can be one of the causes of covetousness. When an individual distrusts God's providence, they are prone to then take matters into their own hands, and taking matters into their own hands may very well involve dishonesty or theft, and again, in order to get what they're entitled to or what they have to have. It might be a necessity. Idleness, laziness would certainly be something that could lead to theft, and we'll stop there. And the list, but the list just goes on and on and on. And all these things would certainly be condemned. Anything that leads to the breaking, or could lead to the breaking of one of the commandments, would also be forbidden in the particular commandment. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and how good you are to us. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here today, and we pray for each need. We pray for each family represented, each home. We just pray that you'd meet with us today, that you would pour your blessings upon us. For those that are lost, Lord, we pray that you'd save their souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.